The following is a class given by His Holiness Jaya Pataka Swami on January 23, 1995 in Bangalore, Karnataka, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 1, Verse 26.
Bunjana Prapibankadan Balakam Snehayantrita Bojayan Payayan Muro Naveda Gatamantaka Bunjana Prapibankadan Balakam Snehayantritaha Bhojayan Payayan Mudho Navedagata Mantaka.
Translation. When Ajamila chewed food and ate it, he called the child to chew and eat. When he drank, he called the child to drink also. Always engaged in taking care of the child and calling his name, Narayana, Ajamila could not understand that his own time was now exhausted and that death was upon him. Translation. With repetition. When Ajamila chewed food and ate it, he called the child to chew and eat. And when he drank, he called the child to drink also. And when he drank, he called the child to drink also. Always engaged in taking care of the child and calling his name, Narayana, Ajamila could not understand that his own time was now exhausted and that death was upon him. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is kind to the conditioned soul. Although this man completely forgot Narayana, he was calling his child saying, Narayana, please come, eat this food. Narayana, please come, drink this milk. Somehow or other, therefore, he was attached to the name Narayana. This is called Agata Sukriti. Although calling for his own son, he was unknowingly chanting the name of Narayana.
Narayana.
And the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so transcendentally powerful that his chanting was being counted and recorded. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, 1st Chapter, 26th Text, in the matter of the history of the life of Ajamila. Om Tat Sat. So apparently Ajamila, although he was quite, because he was already quite old, at the same time he was having a young son. So he was enamored by the young son's broken language and awkward movements and childish antics. So he became very attached to his youngest son. And he was always calling on his son, Narayana!
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 Come here, Narayana! So in this way, somehow or another, he was always calling on the holy name of Narayana.
Narayana.
And even when the time of death came, then it was only natural that he would be calling on the holy name of Narayana.
Narayana.
So we're seeing how that all happened. You see, this Ajamila was a fallen Brahmin. He was a Brahmin who became a dacoit and a criminal. But somehow, because of his upbringing, he called his children, at least he called his youngest son, we don't know the names of the other children, he called his youngest son Narayana. This is we often hear how the Hindu leaders requesting their people to chant, to rather name their children after names of God. This is very good advice. That was the tradition before, just like you find many traditional families give the child name Venkateshwar, Srinivasa, Krishna, Govinda, Gopala. There's so many thousands of names of God, so there's no problem. Purandara Dasa, you can always put the Dasa at the end as well. That way, even by calling your son or daughter, you can get the benefit of repeating the name of God so many times and getting blessed. Of course, nowadays it's quite common, they're using English name, Daisy. And I forget so many funny names. So they're depriving themselves of the opportunity to remember the name of the Lord when they're calling their son or daughter. Also, the son and daughter, by hearing again and again his own name, they get some blessing. So it's a very, you can say, simple way, painless way of just adding a little touch of spirituality to the environment and to the life. Actually, it seems that even in the Christian tradition, it was common to call one by names of different saints. Like the common English names are Michael, Peter, John, Matthew, William, and so on. These are mainly all names of saints, Saint Peter, Saint William, Saint Michael. So in this way, I don't know, William is a saint, but the others for sure they are. And so that seems to be even a tradition in other. We see even in Islamic, they always say Muhammad, Ali, Yusuf, and so many names. They use names of the Prophet and quite frequently in their names. So that seems to be a tradition around the world amongst pious people, and we find that this is started millions of years ago in the previous Yuga and Satya Yuga. That this was common there also. And that by Ajamila naming his son Narayana and constantly calling Narayana!
Narayana!
Narayana! And this way he was getting so many blessings. We he wanted to have his son come and eat with me. You come and Narayana, Narayana, you come here, eat with me, sit down. So inadvertently, he's always going on Narayana, Narayana. So this is agata sukriti. There's two type of sukriti. You should know what is the difference between sukriti and punya. One of the offenses to the holy name is to consider the chanting of the holy name to be comparable with punya. If we consider it to be one of the fruitive activities mentioned in the Karma Kanda, you dig a well, you get so many cows, you offer some, you give your daughter in marriage, konya dan, it's all punya. You feed a hungry person. So in reciprocation of an activity done to help another person materially, or help many people, by digging a well, so many people are benefited. By digging a kunda, or by digging a ghat on the sacred river. Of course, sacred river, then again, sukriti may also be there. Anything just to do with helping the poor, helping others, some material activity of some sort, or worshipping a deva, you get good karma. Good karma means good birth, means good body, handsome, beautiful appearance, means a good education, and also means wealth. Bad karma is the opposite of those things, as well as various kinds of problem, disease, legal problem, financial problem, and so on. So people are naturally very attracted to getting the good karmas, because dharma, artha, kama, moksha, we need money to get karma, to get the sense gratification. But by that good karmas, it's very difficult to get moksha. All you can get is a swarga. You can maximum go to the heavenly planets. In order to get moksha, some different processes are required of yoga. Now sukriti, you see, in the karma, everything is written in a different book by Yamaraj. He's got his Chitragupta, and they're keeping track all the good and bad karmas. So, for good karma you get the good things, and for the bad karmas you have to suffer the results of sin, of papa. Now sukriti is a totally different book. Accountant department is different. That is kept track of by Krishna. That's Krishna's book. And things that go in the sukriti accountant department are particularly those things in relation to Krishna. Chanting his name, like when Ajamil was calling, Narayana! Okay, he chanted Narayana. Okay, that goes down in special book. And this way, he was getting, even without knowing it, he was getting agata sukriti. Agata means unknowingly he was getting. That way, one time Lord Chaitanya was talking with Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya, and he said that now so many people are chanting Hare Krishna. When will that day be ours to see again? Huh? Lord Chaitanya, he was saying, most of the people at that time was chanting. All the caste Hindus were chanting, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras even. Mostly everybody was chanting. So preaching had become so successful. Then Lord Chaitanya was seeing that, well, few pockets are there that we still didn't get. The real argumentative, speculative students and professors, you know. They're always a tough nut to crack, right? Then he saw Okay, they're all about all the fishermen. You know, somehow they're on the beach there with in their little shanty towns, going out all the time fishing. It's easy for them to escape the ordinary net of preaching. So he was thinking, how about the fishermen? And how about the non-Hindus? What about all of the Yavanas, the meat eaters and others? How about the Muslims? He was concerned, how do we get all of them delivered? So then Haridas Thakur said that, don't worry, please don't be in anxiety. You see, this is the mood of the devotees. They want to satisfy the Lord. So the Lord was in anxiety. Immediately Haridas Thakur felt so much touched that the Lord is in anxiety, become intolerable. Please don't be in anxiety. And he mentioned that even, for instance, the Muslims, the Mohammedans, they have a word when there's something is considered very despicable by religious consideration. They say, haram. Harami, haram, haram. So he said, by saying haram, somehow they're saying haram. Oh, dear Ram. So although in their mind they may be thinking something else, but the ha is me, oh my dear, and Rama is the name of the Lord Ram. So they're saying, haram, haram. They're chanting the name of Ram. Right? If they would see pig meat, I guess, then they'd see that and say, oh, haram, haram. So somehow or another, knowingly or unknowingly, it's unknowingly they're chanting the name of Ram. I was in Malaysia, and you know that previously Malaysia was all Hindu. So they have a unique language. It's a combination. A lot of Sanskrit words are there. Like their name for the Malay people, they call them Bhumi Putra. It's a pure Sanskrit. And the names of the cars are the proton cars, but all the names are Iswara, Kshatriya, like that, all Sanskrit names. But in their language, the word for day, somehow previously, one of the kings, he adopted this, the word for day is Hari. So Christmas Day is Hari Kismas. So they're saying, everyone, Hari Kismas, Hari Kismas. So Hari Kismas is almost like Hare Krishna. But in Skanda Puran, it mentions whoever says the two syllables, Hari, Hari,
Hari,
Hari,
Hari.
That in Sanskrit, the word Hari, Haran, means to steal. So Hari means also to take away. So Hari is, it takes away all your bad karma. Just when you speak the two syllables, Hari!
Hari!
Of course, devotees, they like to chant also, Gaura!
Gaura!
Hari!
Hari!
Gaura Hari! So Gaura is also giving prema. So somehow the people there in Malaysia, they're so fortunate that just by speaking, you know, what day will you come? And then their language, and they're saying, what Hari will you come? You know. So many times they're saying Hari. In Spanish, the word for branch is Rama. If you want to say a branch of the society, su sociedad, La Rama de su sociedad, the branch of your society, right? Es correcto? He says Argentina, you know. So somehow people around the world, they're getting Agata Sukriti. Of course, normally people won't be saying Rama so many times, because branch. But Hari, of course, I think Malaysians are getting more benefit. Because there you have to say many times. Here, Arjamil, he was chanting all the time, Narayana! 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 Where is Narayana? So in this way, he is getting agata sukriti. Agata means unknowingly. They're just saying another, they're thinking day, or he's thinking sun, or someone's thinking branch, or whatever it might be. Or someone's thinking, you know, blasphemy, haram. But somehow they're chanting the name of the Lord. So even unknowingly chanting the name of the Lord, even then you get some credit. Now if you knowingly chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's called Gyata Sukriti. Knowingly doing a service to the Lord. That benefit is much more. Somehow Ajamil chanted Narayana enough unknowingly that his score was up enough that he could achieve deliverance. Now someone is knowingly chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then so much blessings they are getting. And the more sincerely they chant, the more enthusiastically they chant, the more they chant with concentration and devotion, the more Krishna will be pleased. So quality and quantity both are there. Srila Prabhupada said sometimes some businessman may also say Govinda, Govinda, but that chanting may not be of the same quality. If one is especially chanting like a child calling for the mother, then it has a much greater effect, that helpless chanting. Like Draupadi, when she was being attacked by Dusasana, she just called out, Krishna! Keshava! Which we can't imitate, how she called out at that time. She was so helpless that Krishna, even though he was so far away, he immediately came. Krishna and his name are not different. They're connected on the transcendental platform. See, when even someone unconsciously chants, Krishna is there. He may come there, but because it's unconscious, say, oh, they called me, but they're thinking something else. All right, even then, blessing. But if you're calling and you want Krishna, then so much more is Krishna pleased by your chanting. If somebody is only chanting for business reasons, so then the name doesn't take the full spiritual form. See here, Ajamil was chanting but not with any motive. He just chanting his son's name. See, he was with a neutral mind. But sometimes the professional people, you pay them and they'll chant. So they're chanting with a motive. They're really motivated people. So that chanting gives punya. Because still it's the name of God, but somehow it doesn't give the full spiritual benefit to the chanter. And to the listeners, depends on their mental frame. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur is saying, a lot of these professional singers, the sound may be Hare Krishna or maybe some Krishna Govinda, Hari Murari or something. But really what the vibration that's coming out is money, 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 money. Give me money. Give me fame. So that's not having, doesn't penetrate so deep in the consciousness. That's why you see that in spite of hearing so many professional singers, people that don't change. They remain in the same mental frame after hearing. Maybe while they're hearing, they're feeling something, but then after, they're as it was. Confirmed. But when Prabhupada chanted, then naturally people's hearts got changed. When Narada Muni met Murghadi the hunter and he was chanting, then Murghadi's heart was a little bit changed, softened. That is the special potency of chanting by the devotees. One time we were with Srila Prabhupada, we went to Wardha in Maharashtra to the ashram of Vinoda Bhave. And at that time, there was a worldwide conference on Bhagavad Gita. In Vinoda Bhave's ashram, he had many what was on one side. On the other side, there was one yogi from some society, a yoga society, who were basically impersonalists. So Prabhupada had the devotees do a kirtan, then he spoke. Vinoda Bhave had the ladies chant a chapter, I think 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and he spoke something. Then this other Mayavadi, when the devotees were chanting, the people were like, you know, moving and clapping their hands, and you could see that there was like some attraction to the holy names. Somehow that Mayavadi, he was somewhat, I think he was envious of Prabhupada's immediate kind of popularity or something. He started some very unusual kirtan. He said, you told us, Father, we're going to chant. And he was just going, you know, Jai Satchit Anandam Krishnam Satchit Ananda Rupam. Something, you know, I can't exactly do at that. But like everybody was like looking and kind of, you know, like, what is this? You know, it's like supposed to be a kirtan, but it was like, you know, kind of offbeat, and the mantra was totally speculative, kind of. So everybody was getting, you know, kind of impatient. This thing is going on. He's trying to like force it, you know, some kind of. Then Prabhupada, he just told the devotees, chant. Just say, do a kirtan. And right in the middle, like this, on order of Guru, we got up and just started a big kirtan. Everybody was, even Vinoda Bhavi was, you know, moving. It's like non-devotee chanting. Maybe he was getting some sukriti, but it was very... uninspiring for the people. As compared to the devotee, Prabhupada said, whenever the pure devotees chant, you say, you're all pure devotees, you're chanting for the pleasure of Krishna. It touches the people's hearts. It goes a deep penetration. But somehow Ajamila was going on chanting his son's name, and so after a long time, I mean, his son was already 4 or 5 years, or maybe 3 or 4 years old by this time, he's still chanting not once a day, 1,000 times a day he's chanting, Narayana, 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 come here, eat with me, sit with me. So all the time he's chanting Narayana, Narayana. Somehow the accumulated effect was enough. You see, but it was a rare good fortune for Ajamila. The devotees, when they chant, that has an effect. We see it on the streets around the world. It's quite common. You find the people, even I've met some new devotees, they said when I was 8 years old, I was walking on the street that time, I saw the kirtan party, I was so attracted, my father grabbed me, pulled me away. And they remember clearly their whole life, that kirtan party. It has a very deep impact. I know when the first time I saw a kirtan party, I never forget. So this is a very special blessing that we have, with this, to receive the Harinam from Prabhupada and the devotees. And it's a very special blessing we can give to people. Now see, someone might hear the chanting. They don't know what it is. But still they're hearing, so they're even without knowing what it is, that's Agyata Sukriti. Now Sukriti is in Krishna's book. Sukriti doesn't get spent like punya and pap. It remains in a fixed deposit, FD, spiritual. And it goes a recurring deposit. As much as you do the chanting of the holy names and devotional service, you get more deposit. If you do aparada, offenses, that can take out from your sukriti. In addition to giving you sin, it also affects your sukriti. That's why when this king of Bonavishnupura, he was robbing the people passing through his kingdom, then he was listening to Bhagavatam. He thought by hearing Bhagavatam, I'll get free from this sin. Actually, that's an offense. To do a sin on the strength of chanting or a strength of some devotional activity. But he did not have proper guru. But he kind of knew there was a difference, because when he stole, he sent his astrologers told him that there was a priceless treasure coming through his kingdom. And he sent them out to bring it. It was a big box. He wouldn't even let them see what was in this. Gave them all 1,000 gold coins or something, and then he had it opened up in his treasury and he saw it was all holy books. It was actually the Chaitanya Charitamrita and all the books of our Sampradaya written by the six Goswamis, Krishna Das Kaviraj and other authors in Vrindavan, the Goswamis and Lord Chaitanya's disciples. He saw they were holy books. He said, now I'm finished. I committed an offense. I stole in some sadhu's holy books. You know, I could still say, he had some idea that, okay, I robbed somebody, that's a sin, you know, maybe I can get free from that somehow or another. But if I commit an offense, then I'm finished. He said, now I'm finished. I committed an offense to some sadhu. I'll never get free from this one unless I get these books back to those sadhus. So there's a difference, a category, totally different category. Offense and Sukriti is on a completely higher transcendental plane. And sin and good karmas, punya, they are on a lower material temporary level. When you do Sukriti, you also get punya. That's like a side benefit. The Sukriti is very high. And when you do aparad, you can also get sin at the same time. But if you do punya, it doesn't mean you get sukriti, if it's not connected with Krishna. And if you do sin, it doesn't mean it's also an offense. Thus, Srila Prabhupada, he was asked, how is it the Westerners have taken so quickly? They were so sinful. He said, but sin is not an obstacle. Because by chanting even one time the holy name, Narayana! Hare Krishna! Haribo! 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 You can be freed from unlimited sin. And then people can become easily God conscious. The problem is offense. So in the beginning, nobody had heard of Hare Krishna. When Prabhupada went, he had a clean field. No one had ever heard of Krishna. Only sin was there. You see, now in the meantime, Kali has arranged to commit many offenses against the devotees. Right? Even in India, when we came to India, the first thing all the politicians on the left wing, they were putting up, you know, even he had that Devanand Hare Krishna Hare Ram Damari Ram. So that lay the first 2-3 years I was in there, any time anybody saw us, they would point and they would say all these things, dum mari dum. They had a totally wrong idea. Here we don't even take coffee and tea, right? And they think that we're smoking hashish and ganja. And it was very, now fortunately people forgot that and they're very respectful. But in the beginning it was very difficult. And then that Gopesh Gupta in parliament, Gopesh Gupta, he raised the point, Anti is all Hare Krishna CIA. So then for a long time everyone, in fact even came out in one local paper in Bengal that in our Pukur, this all intercontinental ballistic missile with nuclear warhead. You know, we did a criminal case against him and said, "Let him prove that you can prove it. How many missiles are there?" You know, even you, with all the security, you can't even bring a bullet through the custom. How you bring an intercontinental ballistic missile? Right? But there's some people, they think, you know, when they say, "Where's that Pukur with your missiles?" You can just see it, you know. So by these kind of things, people hear offenses against devotees. So it actually is an impediment for their doing devotional service. Like in the West, all these Christian groups are committing suicide, mass suicides in Jonestown recently in Switzerland. And so then they're called as a cult in the West. Actually before, cult was a technical word, a positive word used by scholars to indicate a kind of religious movement which was coming out of a greater origin. But now it's taken a negative connotation in the West. A cult means like some kind of deviant group and everything. So many times Prabhupada is using the word cult in our Chaitanya Charitamrita. At that time it had no bad meaning. Recently in Harvard, some of the big scholars said we shouldn't use that word anymore because now it's taken a negative connotation. So all these Christian small groups that are committing suicide, and they're called, okay, they've used the word, they're cults, dangerous cults. So somehow they always try to lump in Hare Krishna. And we don't commit mass suicide. We're against suicide. We're for eternal life. But because of all this kind of propaganda and misinformation, so some people in the West and some countries, they hear some offenses. So this can be an impediment on their spiritual progress. You see, but sin wasn't an impediment. So wherever the offenses are more, you see, it's more hard for people to become devotees. And wherever there's less offenses, even if people might be sinful, they become devotees easier. So in our own spiritual life, we should be very careful not to commit offenses, not to hear unconstructive criticisms against any Vaishnavas, not to do any kind of criticisms that are not constructive and proper. Should be in a very careful mood to simply do devotional service and to avoid all kinds of offense. Chant as much. We should be trying to rack up as many points as we can in Krishna's book, as many good notations. Build up our fixed deposit as much as we can. Maya is so strong, even big sadhus, even very saintly people, they sometimes get misled. You know, we all know from Bhagavad Gita how there's Ikshvaku, is the son of Manu. And he received Bhagavad Gita. Then he had four principal sons. Maybe it was eight principal sons. He gave each of them an area of Ilavrita Varsa to be in charge of, an area of the earthly plane. So he saw astrologically one of his sons. In fact, he was the youngest son. He was a very pious son. Well-learned, good-looking, well-behaved. But he could see that astrologically he was going to make a major mistake in his life and be punished. So he gave him the name Dandaka. And he gave him also one kingdom, and he was he was in charge of a part of India. And he had people who were very happy under his rule. He was a good administrator and everything. But somehow, Dandaka, he went one time into the forest, and there was a very big forest, and there was a rishi there. I forget the name of the rishi. It's in the Padma Puran. I just forget. There was a... Agastya Muni told this story, but I forget the name of the rishi who was concerned. So one rishi had an ashram there, and rishis were mainly grihasthas. So he had a... He also had a very beautiful daughter. It just so happened the daughter was just at the bud of youth. And she was very beautiful, very well formed and everything. And she had just been coming back from taking a bath. She was very, you know, there's nobody in that forest, so she was not dressed very much, scantily dressed after taking the bath. And somehow this young king, he saw her and he became very attracted, and he said, "Who are you? And, you know, I'd like to marry you, I'd like to know who you, you know, I'm very attracted by you." Immediately he made a proposition to her. She became very embarrassed and said, "Look, I'm the daughter of this rishi. You can't speak with me like this. You know, if my father finds out, he'll become very angry, and he can burn you to ash if he wants. And if you want at all, if you want to say anything with me, you have to go and talk with him. And you make a proper proposal to my father. Otherwise, you know, please don't talk with me. This is a very improper for a young man to talk with a single woman like this in a lonely place." But somehow the Dandaka, in spite of being in a good family, son of Ikshvaku Maharaj and so many good qualities, his lust overcame him. And he just went and he started kissing that girl and took off her clothes, and basically he raped her. And then he left, went back to his kingdom and left her like that. She's on the ground, she's bleeding, she's crying. Her father came with so many disciples and saw her daughter in this state, and he became so furious immediately because of his mystic power. He knew who did it. He knew what happened. And so then he cursed that Dandak and his entire kingdom was going to be covered by so many, I forget how many, 100 years, a constant 800 miles area would be totally covered by a rain of ashes for so many years, and everything there would be completely wiped out. And he told all the brahmanas, he sent message to all the brahmanas, "You got like 3 days to get out. This whole kingdom is going to, anyone that wants to save themselves," it's all the brahmanas, sitting there, the king, every brahmana packed up and just, they all left. And before he knew it, the clouds came over and it started just raining and raining and raining, ashes, everything got covered with ashes, everything died. And that place became known as Dandakaranya. Of course, Lord Rama went there. He was in Dandakaranya. That big forest was, that's how it got the name. That's the place where Dandaka met his end. So here was a good person. It seemed like everything he was, the way, you couldn't see anything wrong. But he made one grievous error, right? Offense, by molesting an innocent daughter, a devotee, a daughter of a great rishi. And because of that, he, his family, the whole, everything was ruined. So especially we had to be very careful to avoid any kind of offense, especially those who are to be protected, children, ladies, the elderly, all these are supposed to be protected. devotees, someone does some harm or molestation or any kind of a sinful activity, like with a person who's supposed to be protected, and it gets multiplied. So even a very powerful person like that King Dandaka, he became the cause of Dandakaranya, just a huge forest jungle, finished. No more kingdom, everything finished. So we had to be very careful not to let our lust take the better of us, although we can be finished. Just like Ajamil, he was finished. By his lust, he left his brahminical activities. But somehow, this is a success story because at the end of life he chanted, Narayana!
Narayana!
So we can also have a success story from whatever our past karmas might be if we simply chant, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Krishna Krishna! Hare
Hare!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Rama Rama!
Hare
Hare! And avoid all offenses. Hare Krishna. Any question? Subhuti Krishna Das. What about the English word of Hare Krishna? What is that English word? Hare Krishna in English is Hare Krishna. Huh? Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry. I don't know how close he had to be, how many points. That we had to discuss with the scorekeeper. I'm not keeping score. I'm just telling you to hurry up. Get back to Krishna. Oh, they say hurry up. That's their Agata Sukriti then. I don't know. Those, in English they might say hurry up, hurry. I don't know if hurry is same as hari. You see. Of course, someone's trying to say Hare Krishna. Like in some people in Indochina, they're not able to pronounce the syllable ra. They say la. So you say, sometimes they say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. But actually they're trying to chant Hare Krishna. So that way they get the Sukriti, there's no doubt of it. Because it's like a small child trying to, he can't say father, but he said papa. Still the father even likes it more that he's trying to chant my name. Mama, mommy, like say. So even they may not pronounce it perfectly, but they can, because the intention is there. So someone who's trying to chant the holy names, but even if they don't pronounce it right, they get their Sukriti by Krishna's mercy. If someone's chanting some totally different syllable and not thinking about Krishna, well, the closer it is, the better chance you have. But if it's the exact syllable, then you score a bull, you know, you're right on target. There are many, in English, there are some words. Many times I find that people have names that contain Isha. The word Isha is often within people's names. But I can't think just now. But I come across different names. I always look for Namavas, if they have a little name of Krishna hidden in their name. And many times you find that. So hurry up, I guess if you say it Indian way, hurry up, then you'll get the benefit. Any other question? Yes? Narayana Anta Smriti. You should remember Narayana. You can even mentally be chanting also. Even if physically you can, then mentally you can. But there is a statement, I forget exactly where, but there's a statement that Krishna protects, just like in Gita it says, Yogakshemam Bahamyaham. Whatever you lack, I carry, and whatever you need, I provide. Or no, whatever you have, I carry, whatever you need, I provide. And so that way, that even at the time of death, because of some coma or whatever, some kind of a situation, we're not able to chant, that if somebody has been a practicing devotee, they can, still Krishna can, out of his own causeless mercy, can deliver them. That option is there always, and Krishna promises the Name Bhakta Pranashati, my devotee will never perish. So that way, we shouldn't be fearful that if we are chanting a whole life, that maybe we get tricked at the end by some quirk of fate or something. No, Krishna, he'll reciprocate with us our sincere effort. Of course, somehow or another, if we are able to be conscious, there was a disciple I had that died in Italy, and she had AIDS and was told that was Bhakti in Rosa, then she took initiation. What was her name? Rasa Shwari Devi Das, huh? Rupeshwari. And the doctors told her that there's no hope for you, you've got 7 days. Maybe she had cancer, not AIDS, she had cancer. Cancer. I think we gave the thing in the Guru Mukhi, isn't it? So that way the devotees came and were chanting, and even Madhusavita Prabhu, one of the ISKCON gurus and one of my dear God brothers, he also just arrived at that time, and everyone was chanting around her. And she could chant Hare Krishna and leave her body. So that's like a classic. I mean, even Madhusavita said, if I could leave my body like that, I put down, you know, this is how I want it. Everyone chanting around, and you can just be conscious of Krishna. And so the devotees, they help people. If they know someone is going to die, just at that time, if they can be there, they can help them to remember Krishna. That's ideal situation. You know, being in the IC clinic and on life support system and try to just keep you going, that's not as important as getting eternal life support. You see, that's actually important, is to be able to be transferred back to Krishna. So that's where the devotees can help. But even if somehow or another that doesn't happen and someone's been practicing, Krishna says, don't worry, you'll never suffer a loss because of doing devotional service. Hare Krishna.